I want to share this morning from John chapter 1, verse number 1. I just want to talk to you about the Word this morning. John chapter 1, verse number 1. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So I want you to notice that John is telling us that even in the very beginning, the Word of God was present. And that when the Word of God was made manifest, it brought with it light. And that light was a life unto the people that received it, and it absolutely overwhelmed and overpowered darkness. I want you to look with me also at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Sounds to me like the Word of God is a pretty powerful thing. Can I get a witness somewhere? And this morning, that's what I want to do. I just want to encourage you, empower you, equip you with the Word of God. In the Gospels, you see that there is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John was actually the last gospel that was written, and many people believe that John wrote his gospel because he saw a certain void in the other Gospels. And then with the help and the unction of the Holy Spirit, when he began to pen his Gospel, he starts it with some unique language, language that we just referenced, "in the beginning." It's a direct play on words to tie back to the book of Genesis. In fact, there's many scholars that believe that John intended for his Gospel to be like a new Genesis for the followers of Jesus, that what the book of Genesis was to the old covenant, he longed for his gospel to be to the believers in the new covenant. And with that in mind, I want you to revisit with me Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So what we see is that at the beginning of time, that there is this thing out there with water, that it doesn't have any form. It's void. And God chooses to hover over this thing that is without form and that is void. And I want you to notice that it specifically says that he was hovering over it. There's a difference between being over something and being in something. And so what we see is that as long as God was over it, but he wasn't in it, it was still without form, void, and full of darkness. And the way that God chose to deal with this element that is without form, void, and surrounded by darkness is to bring his word into the situation. And what we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3, verse number 6, verse number 9, verse number 11, verse number 14, "And then God said," "and then God said," "and then God said," "and then God said." Come on, can I get a witness somewhere? There seems to be a repetitive motion in place, that as God is addressing that which was without form and void, as he is addressing that which is filled with chaos and surrounded by darkness, that which is empty to the point of being void, he says, "The way I'm going to deal with it is I'm going to put my word in it." And so my encouragement to you is, I believe that in a moment such as the one that we live, that God wants to do the exact same thing in your life, for your family, for your community, and our nation. That when it feels like that all the borders are gone and chaos is absolutely ensuing, when it feels like that we're surrounded by darkness and that we are overwhelmed with these sensations of emptiness, that God wants to bring His Word. And what you discover when He brings His Word, there is a process to the way in which that He releases it. The first thing He did in creation is He turned the lights on. The second thing that He did is He exposed the lack of order. That came as a result of turning the lights on. The next thing that He did is He fixed what He found wrong. And after He fixed it, the Bible tells us that He filled it. And I just tend to believe that as God brings His Word into our lives, that that's the first thing He wants to do, is He wants to turn the lights on in the midst of what feels like a very dark situation. And as He turns the lights on, it's going to expose that there's a lot of chaos. It's going to expose that there is a whole lot of order that is missing. But when God gets involved in a situation, when He started speaking, it says He told this firmament to go here, and He told that firmament to go there. He told the sky, you can only come this far, and the water, you can only go that far. Day, you can come to this point, and night, you can come to that point. And light, stay here. Darkness, go there. He brought order to it with His Word. And as He brought order to it, the next thing He did is He started feeling it. And as He began to feel it, the Bible doesn't tell us that He spoke a forest into existence. It doesn't say He spoke an orchard into existence. What it tells us is that He put a seed within everything. So all God had to do was make one tree. And within the tree was a fruit, and within the fruit was a seed, and within the seed was a tree, and within the tree was a fruit, and within the fruit was a seed, and within the seed was a tree, and within the tree was a fruit. I don't know who I'm trying to help this morning, because I hope somebody realizes that the whole thing started with the Word of God. And the Word of God was so potent that everything was created with the capacity to be fruitful and multiply. Therefore, the emptiness could be filled, and it came as a result of the Word of God. When you start thinking about the power and the potency of the Word of God, Isaiah went as far as to tell us that when God's Word goes forth from His mouth, it cannot return void. So when God put His Word in an earth that was void, it couldn't stay that way. And when the Word of God shows up into your empty heart, into your empty soul, into your empty life, it can't stay empty any longer. Because when the Word of God shows up, it brings with it an infilling. It brings with it a sense of fullness. And so I was thinking and just praying through the potency of the Word of God. And I couldn't help but find myself in the book of Revelation. And it's in the book of Revelation that we see all of these things unfold, such as wars and rumors of wars and pestilences and plagues and so many nightmarish things. But before any of that happens in the book of Revelation, we see something very specific transpire. The Bible says that Jesus showed up and there were seven churches. Some believe those churches represent spirits of the age. Others believe that those churches represent regional churches at the time this was happening. I think it's probably the case that it was both scenarios. But as Jesus is walking through these churches, He continues to say one thing repetitively to each one of them. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Goes to the next church. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. To the next church. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. What Jesus was drawing the line in the sand about is there are some things that are coming, and it's going to be beyond anything that your mind would ever be able to comprehend, and it's going to be some very difficult and challenging and struggling moments. But if you will tune your ear to what God has to say about the situation, you will find yourself as more than an overcomer, more than a conqueror as a result of hearing what He has to say. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Jesus gave that word to His churches. Now, this book that we call the Bible, it is more than just words written on pages. This is the only book that you will ever open, and each time that you begin to digest it, have the author present with you. And that not only is the author present with you, but the more you read it, you find out that he's not just with you. He starts to be in you through the power of his word. And I don't know who needs to get this, but if you haven't seen it yet, if your life is filled with darkness, if your life is surrounded by a void and emptiness, if it feels like everything is in chaos, the best thing you can do is get the word of God and get it on the inside of you, and you will discover the lights will come on, order will be brought to chaos, and infilling will come to the place of emptiness. Get the word. I was thinking about a moment that is one of the most pivotal in my pastoral ministry. It was several years ago. The church was just getting started. I was trying to be a good leader. I was trying to pray my way through what that looked like and what it didn't look like. I was trying to figure out how to get a message that was from the Lord and to preach in a way that heaven could visit earth. And I found myself setting aside some time to pray and just seek the Lord. And so I went and I got every commentary that I highly valued. I had all these other resources with me. And then anybody remember the day of cassette tapes? I had all these cassette tapes of my favorite preachers, and I'm just walking down the hallway, and as I get to the office, I realize that my hands are full. I have to begin to lay these materials down just so that I can get the door open. And as I did so, I just felt like the Holy Spirit whispered to me, "Eric, do you want to hear from me?" I'm like, "Yes, Lord. I think that's the point of this whole process that I'm in." And I felt like God just whispered back, "Then you're going to need to turn everyone else off." And it was in that moment that when I went into this private setting, that God really did speak to me in a way that I had never experienced up to that point in my life. And years later, to this day, there were messages that were birthed in that moment with God that I still draw from. And even on occasion, when God refreshes them in my spirit, share them in conference settings, etc. And it all came from a moment of realizing sometimes if you want to hear from God, you have to turn everybody else off. Yesterday, I was trying to listen to a guy. I really wanted to hear what he had to say. And the issue was the background music was too loud. And I was trying to like tune my ear to, and it was like the harder I tried, the more difficult it was for me to hear because the music was just overtaking his voice. And I thought that is exactly what so many of us are facing right now, that we really do want to hear God. We really do want to hear what God has to say. But the issue is the background music is really loud right now. And not only is it really loud, it's quite distorted. And with it, there has come a whole lot of noise. And in the midst of all of that, we find ourselves, I really want to hear what God's got to say, but all this other stuff is just making it so difficult to hear what he would say to my family, what he would say to me about my life, what he would... Come on, that's good. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, a few years ago, when our church was just getting started, we were trying to take our sound to the next level, And we realized that we needed some training in the realm of mixing sound. And so we found that there was this guy in Nashville that would train audio engineers. And so we scheduled ourselves to go and be a part of that. And I was just curious, so I tagged along on the trip. And when we went in, they had a mixing board set up for everyone. And those of you that aren't familiar with that, a mixing board would be what would receive the vocals and receive the music. And then there's an engineer that works these... faders. You might call them sliders. But that guy taught us that they're actually called faders. You learn how to fade this in and fade that out and how to do it at just the right time. And so what he taught us is that when you've got a full band playing and you have multiple vocalists singing, there's going to be times where you want to hear maybe vocalist number three louder than the others. And he said the way that most people would do that is they would just go to the fader that represents vocalist number three and turn it up. But he said a great sound man, a great audio engineer, understands if you want to hear vocalist number three more clearly, you put your fingers on all the other faders and you start pulling them down so that it might highlight that which you desire to hear, and it won't just become louder, it will become more clear. And what some of us are going to have to learn how to do is run the faders that are associated with our life, because right now everything's just getting very mixed up and it's like this big jumbled mess. And I think maybe what God would say to us is you're going to have to learn how to turn this voice down and turn that voice down and turn so that you can hear God with greater clarity. Amen. The word of God turns on the lights. The word of God brings order to chaos. The word of God fills whatever it is that appears to be empty. All throughout Scripture, you can find great men and great women of God trying to seek the Lord for His word. And they approach it in different ways. One of my favorite examples is of Elijah. He's quite a rowdy fella. I'm a big fan of him. He hung out in wilderness environments, and he declared the word of the Lord as he sought after what God was saying for his nation and for the time in which he lived. And there comes a moment in Elijah's life where he's actually running from the government. He's running from Jezebel. She's the queen. She's made this decree that she's going to kill him. She's going to take his life. And what Elijah did is he ran away. And he got so scared that he wound up in a cave. And some would say maybe he wasn't there out of fear. Maybe he was there out of discouragement. Maybe he was there out of depression. Scripture actually implies that he was suicidal in his thinking. He felt like he was the only one. He thought he was the only person trying to stand for God. He thought he was the only person trying to do it right. He thought everybody else had compromised. And here he is just all by himself. Like, God, I really need to hear from you. And finally, he comes out of a cave, and as he's standing at the entry point of the cave, the Bible says there was this fire that was lit, but he couldn't hear God in the fire. And then there was this mighty wind that blew through, and he couldn't hear God in the wind. And then the whole earth started shaking, and even in the midst of an earthquake, he couldn't hear God. But then the Bible says after everything settled down, and he's just kind of all by himself. And he's realized, I'm not going to find it in the fire. And I'm not going to find it in the wind. And I'm not going to find it looking through the cracks of the earthquake. The Bible says he heard a still, small voice. And it was like nothing more than a whisper. But he heard God with such clarity on that day that he got a download from heaven that completely reshaped his nation. Came as a result of making himself available to the Word of God, even at the expense of turning everything else down. I was thinking about other people in Scripture that were seeking God for a word. And you might be intrigued to know that there are multiple times in Scripture where men and women of God tried to get a word because a plague was breaking out in their land. There's this guy named David, you might have heard of him. Took the head off a giant, done some fairly mighty exploits. But you know that one of the things David had to fight was a plague? And the Bible teaches us that when David was fighting against this plague and thousands of people were dying, that when he realized he needed a word from God, he finds the answer for that is that he's going to need to build an altar. And Scripture lays the story out as the instruction came, don't just build an altar, build it in the middle of the threshing floor. The place where that the harvest is processed. And in that place, at that altar, God spoke and the plague relented and the nation was restored. And one of the reasons when we were kind of praying about how to approach today, this Scripture kept coming to my mind that in a moment when plague was breaking out, the place where the harvest was processed, the place where the harvest was brought to the threshing floor, is the place where the altar was built and God was sought and His word came and plagues were rebuked. There's another place in Scripture. It's this guy named Moses and his brother Aaron, and a plague has broken out in their land, and they don't know what to do about it. Again, thousands of people are dying. They're distraught. Their spirits are being ripped apart just internally because they're concerned for their people. And their response was to find an altar. And they go to this altar and they bow themselves before God. And they're like, God, we need to hear what we need to do. And God gave them an instruction. The word of the Lord came with revelation and said, you are to create this thing that's going to carry incense. And then you're going to come away from the altar and you're going to walk between the living and the dead. And you're going to carry this incense, and as you carry it, it's going to become like healing vapors for the people that are wrestling with this plague. And what happened on the other side of Moses and Aaron finding an altar and getting a revelation from God, the lights came on, and chaos was pushed back behind the borders of God's order, and that thing that was empty was filled, and the plague was rebuked. So I would say to you, go get your stuff. Get your stuff. Do what you got to do. But in all you're getting, you better get you an altar. You better find you a place where that you can bow before the Holy of Holies, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and let him know, God, speak. Speak to our nation. Speak to the medical professionals. Speak to our government officials. God, speak to our church leaders. And God, speak to me about my house and speak to me about my home. God, let your word be made real in such a moment and a time as this. So in all of your getting, get you an altar. And so today is a national day of prayer. Today is a day when people all across America and beyond are joining together and saying, God, we need to hear from you. And our church, in just a moment, we're going to participate in that wholeheartedly. And we're going to lean in to pursuing God and crying out to God and believing that the blood is going to be on the doorpost of our home and the angel of death will not be able to pass across it. We're going to believe that we are blessed in the city and blessed in the field, blessed coming and going in the head and not the tail. We're going to declare the word of God over our homes. One of the things that we've been doing as a church is we've been inviting you to join us in prayer at 6 a.m. every morning and 8 p.m. every night. And there was great intentionality behind those time frames. Because in the book of Isaiah, we learn about a moment when Isaiah lost somebody that he really cared about. And scripture bears out that the way that this relative of his passed away was through plague-like symptoms. And Isaiah's trying to process it. Isaiah's trying to figure out, like, where do I go from here? What am I supposed to do? And the Bible says he went to the altar. He went to the house of God. And when he got in that place, Isaiah 6:8 says God started talking. And the first thing God did was ask a question. Whom shall I send? And Isaiah threw his hands up in the air and said, God, if you're looking for somebody, here I am, send me. And I believe that as you visit the altar today, whether that becomes your coffee table, whether that becomes a steering wheel for some who are watching online, or for those of you that are in this house today, I believe God's going to send you back into your house to stand at your door and declare the word of God. He's going to send you into your kids' bedrooms to declare the word of God. Send you into your living room, into your business to declare the word of God. It is the only thing we have that shall not return void. So get you an altar. And hear and declare the word of God. Every night at 8 p.m., we've been gathering our family together. I've been laying hands on my kids and just declaring the word of God. I know you've been doing the same. I know that we're all in this mode. And even in the middle of some of that, I've found the enemy just messing with my head and trying to turn up that background music and trying to turn up that noise. And I finally just found myself just talking back to the devil this week. I finally just said, devil, what's the worst thing you're going to do? Send me to heaven? Well, I thought it was too, but I couldn't get an amen nowhere. But I didn't expect many. We're all working this out. We're all navigating our way through it. And what we are all desperate for is the Word of God. They're going to play the music softly, and as they do so, I want to share one verse with you. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what it goes on to tell us is that as a result of the Word of God being made manifest in the early stages of creation, that nothing was made that didn't pass through the Word. But verse 14 is where it gets real. And we learned that the same thing that God did in creation, He chose to do for the hearts of men. When He said in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That in the same way that just the natural earth was void until the Word got in it, so this flesh that is made out of earth will perpetually be void until Jesus gets in it. The Word gets in it. And this might be your moment to lift your hand before God and say, Lord, I surrender. I'm done running from God. I'm ready to run to God. That there's a part of you today that says, I need a fresh start in my relationship with God. Right now, Father God, and wherever we may be involved in this moment, wherever we may be situated, seated, we bow our hearts, we bow our minds, and we say to you that if we are far from you, bring us near. We thank you that you paid for us to have restoration and reconciliation with heaven through the blood of your Son. And God, today we just ask you that your Word would so begin to reign in our hearts that there would just be this sense of assurance that you are our King, you are our Lord, you are our Savior. And that we would sense a security in the fact that we are a follower first and foremost of Jesus Christ. And God, I ask you, as we join with tens of thousands of other people that are praying this morning, that God, you would move on behalf of our church, our community, our state, our nation, and this world. God, a plague is loose. And none of us in our natural abilities know how to fix it. We don't even know halfway how to approach it. But what we do know, God, is the back of the book says we win. And today, God, we call upon your Word that, Lord, you would begin to give revelation to the people who need to receive it, and that each of us would even have a revelation for our own lives, and that we would walk after the conviction that you release in our heart. Father, we pray that there would be a hedge of protection round about our homes and the enemy would not be able to come nigh our dwelling. I pray, Father, over every person that is represented in this moment of prayer, wherever they might be, that right now, God, healing virtue would rain down upon their life and not just deal with issues they may already have, but God, even just put a force field around them of the things that the enemy would try to bring in the days to come. Father, we ask you to give incredible wisdom, supernatural wisdom, heavenly wisdom to the leadership at every level. Politically, spiritually, impart heavenly wisdom. And God, we pray that you would use this moment to bring tens of thousands of prodigals home. People that have distanced themselves from you, people that have fallen away, that God, there would be a reboot in their spirit and they would come running back to the altar. And that, Father God, you would use this moment that everything the enemy intended to do for evil, that God, you would make it for their good. And that, God, we would see that all these things that the enemy intended to destroy with and confuse with, that, God, you would just take the strings like the master of the puppets and pull them into places that set your people up for divine promotion and health and wellness. that, Father, this would be a moment where faith would shine your light, order would be brought to chaos, and every empty thing would be filled. We're yours, Lord. We are yours. We build an altar. We build an altar. We want to hear your word, Father.